It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Oh, this segment is good. Jason Wilde and the professor himself. 7'2½, John Anderson. All I do is listen after, of course, I ask Jason how he's doing. Jason Wilde, everybody should get Jason Wilde on the Packers every day of the year. You just go to the Jason Wilde spot on WisconsinOnDemand.com. Good evening, Jason. How are you?
I'm great, Homer. How are you?
I am great as well. Thanks for asking. Professor, take over.
Jason, I have three things. I don't know how you want to attack these.
Professor.
Well, we're going to lay them out for you. Well, here's the syllabus. The Lions are better than the Packers by a lot. That's troubling. Jordan Love perhaps has too much offensive playbook to deal with. And I've decided that maybe after watching the way the defense played in this one and the last couple of possessions against the Jags and the Texans, that I've decided that maybe we have more of a personnel problem than a coaching problem. Although that does not want to, I'm not letting Barry off the hook. Let's start over. Like the Packers aren't better than the Lions, and I don't see a scenario where during this season they fix that. What did you come away with?
Yeah, I don't feel as strongly as you on that. Like, certainly they, you know, it's a hard thing to express because, you know, like Jordan Love said after the game, I still think we're a really good football team. Okay.
Yeah.
On the flip side of it, really good football teams don't commit 10 penalties, drop 5 passes, throw a pick 6 where there was really very little to gain on that throw anyway. So, you know, if I'm them, I'm looking at it going, hey, everything that we did against the team that we're vying for the division title for was us screwing up. Like, I don't think they got pressure on Love on the interception, but he's just got to be smarter. That ball easily is thrown out of bounds, and you live to fight another day. I know he was disappointed because he did have – there was a play that was dialed up that had Reed open down the field. And it could have been a huge play, and instead, he made a bad play worse. They didn't pick up the protection. They got fooled on that. Just take the sack or take the incompletion. Don't make it worse by turning it into a pick six. But I don't think – I think that they will get themselves more disciplined in the second half. So I don't think that the gap is as large as it felt after that game was over.
Felt huge to me, but like it's week 9. You shouldn't make that many penalties in, you know, things should be, I feel like in week 9 games, you should be cleaned up on some of that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, look, they've got 30 pre-snap penalties on the season. Like that's an average of 3 per game. Like that's the most in the league. Like get your blank together. And don't jump off sides. I mean, the T.J. Slayton penalty, I think, is the kind of one that you look at and go, dude, what the hell are you doing? And then he admitted afterward that he tried to guess the snap count. Well, hello, McFly? Anybody home? Think, McFly, think. They are trying to get you jumping off sides, so definitely don't guess the snap count because there isn't a snap coming. Until you bowl over the center. So
calm down, you know, sir. You're sounding like Homer.
No, I was just doing a Back to the Future imitation, really.
Yes.
So yeah, those have to go. There's no two ways about it. But I do think that those, and I'm certainly not part of the PR arm of the Green Bay Packers, but I do believe that they are, in fact, relatively fixable. Now, I think they've got ample talent on offense. Let's go to the defensive thing, though, because I am certainly more critical of Goody than other people are, both on our team and other reporters that cover the team on a daily basis. But I got no problem with trading Preston Smith. None. Like I
no.
Anybody that you play now instead, because he was not having any impact. So Lucas Van Ness getting more snaps Aaron Mosby getting more snaps. Brenton Cox playing now. J.J. Enekbare playing more. Like, that's, at the very least, that's a push. And a push with younger players is still a bonus because they're developing into something that you will want. Preston Smith, I'm not saying he's washed, but he was not doing anything for them. So you pick up the seventh rounder that you gave up to get Malik Willis, who has largely saved your season, and I don't got any problem with that. My problem is, and I asked Goody about this just now, and I was pleasantly surprised by his honesty. You know, I said, look, what do you need from Lucas Van Ness, who you're going to be counting on more? And I know this guy's a conscientious guy, but given the expectations and the contract and his draft status, how much more do you need from Rashawn Gary? And he said, we need more from all of those guys up front, which yeah. I understand is a no-blank Sherlock type deal. But for the general manager to publicly admit it, as opposed to me saying it, I think that means something. That has been, in my opinion, on the defensive side of the ball, the most disappointing group, and it's not even close. Rashawn Gary is not an elite player at this point. Will he become one still? I don't know, but he's not giving me a whole lot of evidence to think that he will. We just discussed Preston Smith and why you felt comfortable trading him. Lucas Van Ness was the 13th overall pick. You know, we made a lot of wisecracks about how the Packers fleeced the Jets in the Aaron Rodgers trade. One of the things was that they also swapped draft picks in the first round, 13th and 15th. And Will McDonald has been a hell of a lot more of a pass rusher for the Jets than Lucas Van Ness has been for the Packers. So they need more from him. They need more from Gary. So that has been a problematic area. And then, you know, the linebacker spot, I don't know how you complain about that. You know, Eric Wilson has been way better than you expect for where he's at in his career. And Edgerrin Cooper has been fantastic with his playmaking. He makes mental mistakes, but he's tilted the field in their favor multiple times. The guy that I would like, if I'm a Packers fan, to be better than he's been and to be the guy who's tilting the field at that position, of course, is Quay Walker, who has not been that guy. Now, in the back end, without Evan Williams and without Jair last week, that's less than ideal, but when that group is healthy, I think they have one of the best secondaries in the league. So from a personnel perspective, it's all up front where I'd be critical of what they've got on defense.
Well, and yeah, and I mean, it's as old as time, right? If the guys up front don't play well, it makes the guys on the back end's job so much harder. I'm with you with Preston Smith. You say it's a push. I'm like, it's a push and a pick, actually, is what they come out of that with. I have suggested that perhaps that Jordan Love should not have access to the full playbook. Your thoughts? I think LaFleur needs to dial him back.
I don't, John. I really don't think it's the amount of playbook that he has at his disposal. I think it's, and I had, if you get a chance, we played it on our show this morning. But the back and forth that I had with LaFleur, who had, you know, said after the game to one of my colleagues that we were being really annoying with all of our interception questions, I'm sure I was annoying too yesterday because I asked three questions in a row. But I thought we got, while he was trying not to throw his quarterback under the bus, I thought we got a very, very clear picture of what the issue is, and that is, Jordan Love is not doing a great job of recognizing when it's okay to take chances and when you have to live to fight another day. And saw it in the LA game. It didn't cost them the pick six that he throws underhanded while he's stumbling out of the end zone. The pick through last Sunday, like the worst case scenario, you go into the half down 10-3, and then the Lions score on their opening possession, and it's 17-3, which is ideal, but certainly not insurmountable. And instead, he made it infinitely worse, because then when they score on the opening possession, it's 24-3, and now your offensive play caller is stopping giving the ball to the guy that's been the most productive of anyone offensively that day, Josh Jacobs, and you're just in such a big hole. So his awareness of, hey, I have utmost confidence in my ability and in my arm and my guys that I'm surrounded by going up and getting balls for me, like, say, Romeo Doubs on that touchdown against the Cardinals, or Jaden Reed into triple coverage against the Rams. All those things are great, and there are times where that's okay, but he's doing it far too often when it's not okay. And I think Matt LaFleur's issue with him is, dude, the way I couched the question was, help me understand how a guy who in the last 8 games last season threw 1 pick has now thrown 10 picks in 6.5 games. And I think Matt LaFleur's cut to the chase, if he were to boil it down, is he's taking chances that he didn't take last year because he wasn't ready to take those chances. And those chances are ones that he should know better than to take this year, but he's taking them anyway.
So, Jason, if I can, what? And I ask you this, because I know LaFleur's, what is he thinking? Tell us what you believe Jordan Love is thinking before that pick six play.
I gotta make something out of nothing. And you know, and again, I know people get irritated with the Favre comp because, Brett Favre's a Hall of Famer, and if he has Brett Favre's career and wins the Super Bowl, yeah, again, I totally get that. When those of us that draw that comparison mention Brett Favre's name, this is what we're talking about. Because Brett Favre was a magical player. However, far too often, he did not have the wisdom to say, instead of taking a chance and having to make a play on absolutely every snap, it's sometimes the smart play is to throw it into the bench area. And he always thought that there was a play to be made. And sometimes, like the one that I always think of, is I think they're in Seattle, and he throws like an underhanded touchdown pass to Antonio Freeman, or a sidearm touchdown pass, like almost like the Veer offense pass. He did that a lot. But he also had Mark Tauscher chasing Rams defensive players all around the TWA Dome when he threw 6 picks and 3 of them were returned for touchdowns. Like, this is the comp to Favre, is that Jordan Love has not decided or accepted that sometimes you can't make a play, and the best play is to wait for the next play to try and make the play. And if he's able to move past that, I think that'll be really good for everyone, including him. And he'll still have opportunities to make Favre-esque, oh my God, did you see what Love just did? It reminded me of Favre when he threw that touchdown pass to Freeman in Chicago or whatever. But he's got to eliminate the boneheaded mistakes where there's too much risk and not enough reward. And I thought that pick six, again, what happens if he, let's just say it's not a pick six, let's just say he completes it to Josh Jacobs. Like, there's such a massive humanity there. Yeah, sure, Josh Jacobs breaks a tackle and he gets 12 yards and he gets the first down. Okay, but more likely, there's so many guys there, it's either incomplete, it's intercepted like it was, or he gets tackled for like a 3-yard gain and the clock is still running. Like, he needs to, this is part of his growth that he has to recognize even a win on that play is still not much of a win. So don't do it.
All right. Your segment, again, we're behind time, but not before both of you, 7-2.5 and Jason Wilde, respond to our Discount Liquor Twitter poll question. Jordan Love has 10 interceptions this season through 7 starts. Will he finish the regular season with more or less than 20 interceptions? More or less, Jason?
Less.
John Anderson, Professor, 7-2.5.
Yeah, he'll have less. The over and under on that should be like 15. But by the way, I get that LaFleur's irritated by people asking, but it's irritating when he throws picks, and that's what people would like you to ask about. So I'm not really sure where his complaint is on that.
Just doing my job, Matt. Just doing my job. And my job is to annoy you and many others.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jason.
Don't throw the pick, and we don't have to worry about
that. That's right.
Thanks, Jason.
Exactly. All right, guys, take care. Be good.
By the way, he's thrown a pick in seven straight games. Sure. Rodgers the most with six. Favre has a couple sevens and a nine and a ten. But he threw many more touchdown passes when he was throwing those interceptions. Third quarter next.